Welcome to Moxie Minutes with Gia. I'm host Gia Valenti, and joining me today is Nicole Dossi, Executive Director of the NCADA, which is an acronym for the National Council on Alcohol and Drug Abuse. Nicole is passionate and committed to preventing substance use disorders among youth in our region. So welcome, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. We're going to talk today about what the NCADA does, what kind of resources they have to offer, trends, how they prevent. They have a teen institute. They have K through 12 programs. They have parent meetings. They have advice on how to dispose of prescription medications. So we have a lot to cover. Let's start, first of all, with what the NCADA actually does, what your target is, what your goals are.
Absolutely. So NCADA has been around for actually about 54 years. Next year will be our 55th anniversary. And our mission is to reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use. And we do that primarily through three ways, but I think they can all be really culled down to that word education. So we reduce or prevent the harms of alcohol and other drug use through education. What does that mean? We educate kids. And the largest chunk of what we do is going into schools, beginning in kindergarten, going all the way up to 12th grade, delivering classroom-based, resiliency-based, or drug-specific information programs, again, in that classroom. Last year, we served 64,000 kiddos, K through 12, in 260 schools. So that's urban and rural schools. That is public and private. That's everywhere, all across the seven-county region that we serve. And again, we're educating kids. We're not scaring them. We're not preaching to them or telling them what to do and why. Instead, we're really helping them develop some coping strategies, the biggest of which is really knowledge, because knowledge is power, right? Mm-hmm. And when they know the consequences of drug use, or when they know that there are adults that trust them, or when they know how to respond when they're feeling pressured, mm-hmm. they can respond in a healthy way. So we educate young people. We also educate faculties, as well as parents, as you mentioned, and caregivers, about how to talk to their kids about drugs and alcohol, how to set consequences, how to rebuild trust if perhaps there is some course correction that needs to be made. We also educate legislators about various issues. It is not uncommon for legislators to come to us and say, what is the public health perspective on X? For example, kratom is a substance that we're hearing a lot about, and legislators have come to us saying, is this a healthy alternative? As we're hearing, is this snake oil? Is this, should we have an all-out ban on this? Our team does the research, talks with different policy experts, but also different public health experts, and we can educate legislators. We also educate just the general public. And that could be around public health messaging campaigns. So maybe it is on the importance of drug disposal and why it's important to either dispose of or lock up medication. Maybe it's just education about the fact that, hey, addiction is a disease. It's not a lack of discipline. It's not a moral failing. It's not necessarily a parent's fault, but it's a disease, and it can be treated, and it absolutely can be recovered from and managed. Mm-hmm. So I think really when you think about NCADA, there's a lot of different pieces of what we do, but I think really it all boils down to that word education. We're all about educating people in various capacities about this thing called addiction.
Right. And you've been, your organization has been in my children's school, so I'm familiar, and I know that you guys are everywhere, which is fantastic. You're certainly, it isn't for lack of being out there and involved and in everybody's, you know, face in a good way, but yep. Educating and, you know, really persevering to get your message out there. I want to back up to a few things. First of all, what is kratom?
So kratom it's marketed kind of as an herbal supplement or as a incense, depending on the store in which you're purchasing it. When I say stores, I mean gas stations are selling it, head shops, stores that kind of sell
Pods for jewels or...
Yes, or pipes to smoke, quote-unquote, tobacco from, okay, or hookah shops, things like that. In small doses, kratom has a stimulant effect. Mm-hmm. In larger doses, so it would mirror like caffeine or cocaine, depending on the dosage.
Okay.
And then, or the variety of it. But then in larger doses, it actually mimics opioids because it has more of a sedative effect. So what we're seeing is that because currently it can be purchased legally and there are no age restrictions, we actually have seen some deaths in this region and nationwide tied to kratom consumption alone, like a kratom overdose. We also know, however, that it's being investigated and researched to see if there indeed are any sort of medicinal properties. As you know, opioids and heroin and fentanyl, all of those kinds of narcotic drugs and sedative drugs, those are being widely misused.
Mm-hmm.
And kratom is being explored as possibly a safer pain management alternative.
Okay.
I actually just came from a meeting at the St. Louis College of Pharmacy where they've secured a very large grant to do some research. They know right now the research is telling them that it does have addictive properties.
Mm-hmm.
But they are continuing to do some research about whether or not it can be used safely under maybe a doctor's or a physician's recommendations for
with proper dosing and
for
whatnot.
Pain management. Now, right now, there is absolutely none of that happening. And so you could go to a head shop and say, I want some kratom, and they'll sell you a brownie or some capsules or things like that.
So it's ingested. It is
yes.
not smoked.
No, it is ingested.
It's ingested.
And usually in a pill form or in some sort of an edible.
So is this something that you would caution parents to be on the lookout for?
Absolutely.
And is it something that is potentially dangerous?
Yes.
As of right now, where it's there are no restrictions, there's no... So there are definitely some scary things that can occur.
Absolutely. And I would say that it's akin to some of the myths and misinformation that surrounded substances like K2 and spice,
mm-hmm,
5 to 10 years ago, where people were thinking that that was a safer alternative to marijuana. It wasn't showing up in drug tests, and it was widely available.
Mm-hmm.
We now know that there are absolutely dangers in that substance, spice, K2, any of the other synthetic forms of drugs, and that parents should 1,000% be on the lookout for that. We are doing more education, not only to legislators about kratom, but also to schools. We have, we're working on fact sheets right now and some policy statements about what we believe our legislators should do around the regulation of kratom. We believe that it is a public health concern.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I hadn't even heard of it. So for those of you that are listening that have not heard of kratom, how is that spelled?
K-R-A-T-O-M.
Kratom.
And Okay. Some people say kratom, some people say kratom, some people say kratom. Potato, potato.
Right. So if you hear any of those words.
Correct.
Or if you see that spelled on a kid's text. You got the kratom?
or if you see a pill that kind of looks like a vitamin, that looks kind of herbal, and you're not exactly sure what that is, and you're like, hey, that doesn't look like a vitamin that I've ever seen them take.
Right.
That would be a cause for a conversation and a concern.
Yeah. Wow, this is fascinating information. I'm glad that I asked the question. Now I know something I didn't know a few minutes ago. We're going to take a break shortly, but I wanted to ask you something else that you had just talked about is obviously you go out and there's a very a large amount of information that you share with institutions and faculty and parents and students. And I certainly know we don't have time for you to do your entire presentation in all of those categories today. But if you, when we come back from break, could maybe give us as parents a few little tips on how you educate or what types of things you say in terms of consequences, for example, proper consequences or, you know, some of the other things that you had mentioned. I'd love if you could expound on that.
Will do.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Moxie Minutes with Gia. I'm host Gia Valenti, and joining me today is an incredibly committed, passionate, and knowledgeable person, Nicole Dossie, the executive director of the NCADA. And just before break, I wanted Nicole to share with us some tips to parents. The NCADA does a lot of work with faculty, parent education, student education, just empowering people by giving them knowledge in order to prevent substance misuse, abuse, all of the above. So, for example, one of the things you mentioned is we talk to parents about proper consequences. Like, once your child has done this, whatever that thing may be, whether it's smoked a cig or had a drink or ended up drunk from one too many fireball shots at the senior prom, what then is your follow through as a parent? And what are some of what are the things you suggest?
I could talk about this topic for days. So first of all, thank you for bringing this up. And I'm going to start kind of at more of a macro level mm-hmm. and then drill down into how families can discuss it at home.
Okay.
I will say that we do a lot of education with local schools, again, both public and non-public, private, parochial, everything in between, about what policy should be when a student does come to their office who has misused a substance. So let's say you have a kiddo who shows up drunk to a school dance mm-hmm. or is caught vaping in the school bathroom. There right now is no consistency right. about how schools deal with that. What some schools will do is they will kind of turn the other way. They'll turn a blind eye because they don't have the resources to deal with it. They don't feel equipped, like that they have the skills. I mean, forget resources. They don't even feel like they have the skills. They're maybe reluctant to refer to a treatment facility because some of them feel like they're on the hook financially for that. Other schools who choose not to ignore it kind of go the other extreme and might automatically refer that kid to the juvenile justice system. Schools have varying approaches about, is it a first offense, something happens to you, a second offense, what does that look like? Are you sent to an alternative school? Is it 180? There's one school in our region that has 180-day suspension. There's another school that it's only a suspension on their third offense, whereas the 180-day is their first
wow.
offense. So there's not a lot of consistency. So one of the things you talked about education is educating our schools about what is the proper way, what is the proper way to address that, and not turning a blind eye, but when to get the families involved, also not to immediately refer to treatment because these counselors are not qualified to make a criteria on a substance use disorder. I mean, they're not, nor do they feel equipped to, nor is it appropriate to funnel them into a juvenile justice system where 9 times out of 10, they might be surrounded or now influenced by things that they hadn't even ever heard of or
right.
dreamed of. Right. And now they're kind of labeled and now they're going from one system to a very different system, and we're kind of clogging that down.
I mean, the kid that put a beer in the Yeti and went to the
Correct.
Football game on Friday night is not necessarily an alcoholic.
Absolutely.
And needs to be in a treatment facility or in a group of, you know.
But they need something.
They absolutely.
They need something. And so we have a program that's at no cost. And one thing that I will say is that NCADA is not a treatment center.
Right.
So we can provide unbiased referrals to a treatment facility if that is necessary, if that is clinically necessary, or it could be a recovery group, or it could be a positive outlet.
Right.
Because sometimes kids and adults, quite frankly, get into trouble with substances because they're bored or they just mm-hmm. wanted to experiment or something else was going on at home.
Right.
They wanted attention. They were stressed. I mean, we hear coping
right.
all the time. If they need treatment, then we absolutely make a warm handoff. But we provide an alternative for schools who are saying, what now? What do we do with this kid who was caught juuling? Maybe they are addicted to nicotine. And you know what? Maybe they're not.
Right.
So when schools make the referral to us, on that first visit, we do require a caregiver. And that is crucial because at that point in time, we assess what's going on with the young person, but then we also can assess from the adult's perspective what's going on. Make sure that their stories mesh. Mm-hmm. Many times they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find with the adults is, just like schools many times have kind of two extreme reactions, parents also have two extreme reactions. Not always. This is, of course, a generalization. Mm-hmm. But there are some parents who say, oh, well, I did it. I drank when I was younger. It's really no big deal. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Or we have the parents that say, oh, my gosh, I failed as a parent. I need to take all their systems away. I'm taking right. their cell phone away. They're grounded from activities. No car keys.
Handcuff them to the bed.
Yes. And neither one of those extremes are healthy,
right.
nor are they conducive to a positive relationship with you and your child.
Right.
And so it's a lot of talking in a group setting, not a support group, not anything super touchy-feely, but talking about what kind of consequences are appropriate. And if you go from 0 to 60 with consequences, is that okay?
Right. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to continue talking about consequences and maybe hear from you, Nicole, on what you do suggest when you meet with the schools that are like, we have no policy, or ours is a 180-day suspension. Like, where's the middle of the road there? We'll be right back. Welcome back to Moxie Minutes with Gia. I'm host Gia Valenti, and if you're just joining us, I'm speaking today with Nicole Dossi, the executive director of NCADA, which is the National Council. I'm losing my thought.
On alcohol and drug abuse.
Goodness gracious, I almost reversed it. Anyway, what I love about Nicole is she has so much information to arm us with. And you'll have to go to the website when this is all said and done, because there are so many resources out there and so many educational tools, and how the NCADA works with schools, faculty, parents, children. But we last left off with consequences and how educational institutions and parents both have very extreme reactions to when a child might, for example, vape or drink or smoke marijuana or drink at the school event, whatever it might be. You've got some schools that are like, yeah, we don't want to deal with it. We've got some schools that are like, that's an 180-day suspension. You've got parents that are like, yeah, but I did that when I was a kid. It's just kind of part of experimenting, and it's the, you know, the rite of passage into adulthood. Then you've got parents that are like, we're taking everything away from you, and you're never going out of the house again. So I'm asking Nicole, what do you suggest? And is there a one size fits all? Or is it, how do you do that?
Yeah, so the answer is no, there's not a one size fits all. And when, let's say, you have a high schooler or a middle schooler who gets caught using a substance, whether it's by you or the school, we absolutely suggest that you deal with it. In saying, this is really not okay. I'm really disappointed by this.
Right.
If you don't know what to do right in the moment, that's okay. You can also put the fear of God in them when you say, I need to really think about how to respond to this.
Mm-hmm.
That gives them some time to shake in their
Sit
knees
in
a little bit.
Yep.
Exactly. There is a happy medium between not doing anything and grounding them for life. And those happy mediums really are specific to each kid and each family.
Case by case. Yeah.
I am hesitant to ever suggest that you take them out of their favorite sport or make them stay at home from dance class if that's what they're into, or music if that's what they're into, because that's a positive outlet.
Absolutely.
And so if they're already feeling crummy about themselves, if they already know that they disappointed you, if now they're being shamed at school because now they're kind of that kid, quote unquote, and now they can't have a release and mm-hmm. a hit of that positive dopamine, that's no good.
Right.
Now, should they have consequences? Absolutely. And you know what fits your kid.
Right.
If taking away their car keys, or if, you know, making them do the dishes every night and actually have a conversation with you, if that's punishment, then maybe that's punishment.
Right.
It doesn't have to be something so extreme. Also, one thing that I will say, and this is, NCADA is all about prevention. So if your kiddo has not gotten sideways with substances, maybe this is the time to start talking to your child about, what do you think a fair consequence would be if I found out that you were doing this?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your friends' parents? What have they said are consequences? Then, as I know that you're a fan of having contracts with social media and modeling healthy behavior with social media and devices, having some sort of pact signed ahead of time so that your child knows, and it's no surprise what their consequence is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
For many teenagers, it can be a great excuse. Oh, no. No drinking for me tonight. My mom's going to take away my car keys, and you know that the car is my ticket to freedom. Or, nope, I'm sorry. No thanks. I don't want to hit that bong because, you know, then I'll have to stay home and watch my brother and sister, and you know how much they drive me crazy.
Right.
Right? So it's a good excuse. It could also be something as maybe you could drug test them. And that's, for some families, that's a very real tactic. Other families, that would never fly. Speaking about the importance of prevention, it's also, you know, peer pressure is not just common amongst kids. It's very common amongst parent groups as well.
Absolutely.
So talking with your kiddo's friends, parents, about what consequences they will enforce.
Kind of united.
Oh, there
we stand,
is
band of brothers.
Power in numbers.
Yes, absolutely.
And if they know that the families are united in this,
mm-hmm.
there's real power in that. We have a website. It's called Talk About It Mo, because mm-hmm. we're Missouri wide. TalkAboutItMo.com, and it has 5 age specific talking kits that help parents and adults talk to their kiddos about drugs, consequences of use, what will happen if they're caught using, modeling of appropriate behavior, because these conversations, as you know, can't and shouldn't start in middle and high school.
Right.
They can start even as early as pre-K.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
And those conversations are very different.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, I had someone on not too long ago that talked about pornography and how there's a very real way to have that conversation
absolutely.
With your 3-year-old without it being the full blown, like, hardcore porn that you might, you know, have that conversation with your 20-year-old, 18-year-old. But
I mean, you can start with a pre-kindergartner about who are grown-ups you trust.
Right. Yeah. We have to take a break, but when we come back, I have a really good question for you. Be right back. Welcome back to Moxie Minutes with Gia. I'm host Gia Valenti, and I'm speaking with Nicole Dossi, Executive Director of the NCADA. We're talking all things substance use, misuse, abuse, prevention, as it pertains to our children, teenagers, little people, and how those conversations can start very early. One of the questions that I have for Nicole is modeling. So, you know, people often say, you know, put your phone away when you're with your children and model. You know, you shouldn't always be on your phone. And while I agree with that, like, I'm not candy crushing at the dinner table, which I don't candy crush anyway. But my point is, I also have explained to my children, right now I'm getting a text from a parent that is going to be picking you up tonight, and I have got to respond. Okay, so I'm not ignoring you, but I just have to do this really quick, and then you will have my full attention again. Okay, guys. So I there's a verbal follow-up with it, but I often say very flippantly to people, like, I don't have to justify my behavior. I'm the adult. I
You're
have a
an
phone.
Adult.
I'm an adult. But there is this thought out there of, like, you know, if you're every weekend partying with your friends or your neighbors or other parents and you're falling down and you're, you know, or, you know, you're out of line in how you're talking, or you're praying over the porcelain god the next day, or you can't get out of bed, people say you're really not modeling very well for your children. So what does the NCADA have to say about that sort of thing?
So it's one of my favorite questions, because when we do parent meetings, inevitably there's always a parent that raises their hand and is very defensive and says, so what I'm hearing you say is that I can't drink around my kids. And I say, no, that's not at all what I'm saying.
Right.
Because you are an adult. You pay the bills. You're over the age of 21. You're not driving. Nothing you are doing is wrong. What I will say, and what I have been saying, I will nicely push back, is that your kids are watching.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how you are modeling your relationship with substances. In other words, if every time your mother-in-law, we all have mother-in-laws and they're all lovely, but if every time your mother-in-law leaves the house, are you grabbing a glass of wine?
Or saying it.
Or saying it.
Oh, gosh, I need a glass of wine now. She's coming over.
Correct.
Better pour a glass of wine, as if it's a coping.
If your kids see that you need or want or discuss Xanax or Ambien to help you calm down or to help you go to sleep. Again, nothing about you taking an Ambien or drinking a glass of wine or having a Xanax is inherently wrong. There is nothing wrong about any of that. But are you using it to cope in an unhealthy way?
Mm-hmm.
We begin our programming at the kindergarten level, talking to kindergartners about how to cope with feelings. We encourage them to talk about their feelings. We encourage them not to hit other people, not to retreat inward, not to punch a wall, not to lash out at other people. And so what we encourage parents to do is to think about what kind of coping behavior are you modeling to your kids. Now, should you have a beer fridge that is open at any time that anybody and their brother could walk in and get? No, you should not.
Right.
I'm sorry, you should not. Best practice research does not say that a beer fridge or an accessible wine cart in the living room where anybody can get it, that's appropriate. No, evidence does not say that. Does it also mean that you have to tell your kids, you will never drink, if you drink, I will disown you? No. Again, it's that happy medium, and it's talking to your kids about why you're drinking. It's a celebration time.
Right.
I don't need alcohol to feel happy, but this is a celebration time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm choosing to do. I'm also choosing to have one drink an hour because you know what? That's what my liver can process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a grown-up. What does that mean? That means that my brain is fully finished growing.
Right.
And that means that I now can make decisions for myself about when and how to drink.
This is fantastic information. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Hi, this is Gia, the host of Moxie Minutes with Gia, and you might be wondering why I even do this radio thing. Ultimately, my show is all about communication and education. I founded Learn with Moxie to help our kids to become better communicators in a screen-obsessed world. If you're interested in getting the Learn with Moxie curriculum in your school, contact me at learnwithmoxie.com. That's learnwithmoxie.com. And as always, keep talking. Welcome back to Moxie Minutes with Gia. I'm host Gia Valenti, and we are in the last segment, so I want to pack in a lot of information here. Nicole Dossi with the NCADA, Executive Director. The last thing we're going to talk about is marijuana. So marijuana, you know, when I was growing up was, it's dope, it's, you know, that, what do they call it, wacky tobacco, like, you know, my parents called it all sorts of things, but, you know, it definitely was a little, is a very specific population of people. They were the stoners, they were the hippies, they were, you know, it is now becoming legal medically. Some states it's legal recreationally. CBD, you see it everywhere now. It's like this thing. And our kids, it's becoming more mainstream for our kids to do it. And it's also oftentimes advertised as something that doesn't impair you like alcohol would. So, you know, alcohol makes you, you know, cross-eyed and you're seeing six headlights coming at you as you're driving down the road instead of two. But marijuana doesn't have that effect. So what do we do about this with marijuana today with kids?
Well, I will say it's complicated. It's very nuanced. And I appreciate the opportunity to really talk about it because many times people kind of get stuck in their own perspectives and think they know how they feel about it without really kind of opening their brain and their minds up to understand all the nuances. So I will say that, yes, while the, I'll say, profile of a marijuana user has changed and definitely grown. Marijuana use amongst teens, both in Missouri and nationwide, has been fairly level. Now, that is not what you would think if you turned on the news or the radio. You would think that, you know, kids are smoking all kinds of weed and they're vaping and they're doing everything. And what I will say is that teen drug use is at historic lows for every substance except for vaping.
Oh, okay.
So that's one thing that I will say. I will also say that, you know, right now, Missouri is the show me state, right? And so we're looking at what other states have done, what other states have put into place in terms of regulations and parameters. And I do believe that there's some real purposefulness and thoughtfulness in how this legislation will be rolled out. Medical marijuana, if indeed it is treated as a medicine, if it is indeed treated the way that all of the other medicines in this country, which we could go down that rabbit hole about whether medicines are good or bad. But if we are indeed going to treat it as a medicine, then NCADA says, let's treat it as a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, a pharmacist does not fill it. It's filled by a bud tender. A doctor does not prescribe it. A doctor recommends it. And mm-hmm. it is a doctor's choice whether or not they want to recommend it or not. It is not being treated like a medicine. There are no dosing instructions or dosing parameters. I know the state is working on that. All of this is to say that when your kids are approaching you with conversations, or even if they're not, even if you find a window of opportunity because it's mentioned on TV or in the car as you're carting them around to swim practice, and you see a window, talk to them a little bit about what they think. What do they think about the fact that the country is so fragmented in terms of where it is legal and where it's not? What do they think about the fact that we have thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the criminal justice system right now locked up who have done things no different than what we're about to make legal here in the state of Missouri?
Right.
What do they think about the fact that the large majority of those people who are behind bars are people of color?
Right.
Teens today are very, very aware of injustices and very aware. Mm-hmm. They also don't like being pawns. So NCADA is not necessarily against the medical model for marijuana. We're also not against necessarily legalization.
Mm-hmm.
We don't love that, but we're not necessarily against that. What we are against is the commercialization.
Right.
Because for large companies that are going to make money off of, they're not making money off the people that smoke a joint sitting around a campfire when they're on a float trip with their friends.
Right.
They are making money off of the heaviest of users.
Yeah.
In the exact same way that the alcohol industry does.
And the smoke and the
and
tobacco.
The tobacco industry. They are making money off the backs of people with real substance use disorders. Right. We are close to figuring out what is an appropriate dosage
mm-hmm.
and how to determine that on the roadside for law enforcement. We're not there yet.
Right.
Because right now, the only way to detect that is a blood sample. No one's going to give a blood sample
right.
on the side of the road. And the amount of THC in the system can really vary. So we're close, but there's so much more research that needs to be done, not just on marijuana and its psychoactive properties, which is THC, but also on some of the medicinal properties, which is that CBD you're
right.
speaking of,
right.
which does not get you high. We know absolutely has some medical benefit, but we need to study it more.
Right.
And right now we can't because it's a Schedule I.
Mm-hmm.
And that's akin to heroin, cocaine,
right.
and other drugs. So we think that if we're going to treat it as medicine, let's treat it as medicine, just like you would with the other controlled substances.
Right.
Let's not criminalize folks who are using it. Let's research the heck out of it. And let's talk to kids about how complicated this really is.
Yeah.
Knowing that the fastest growing population of marijuana users and drinkers, by the way, and opioid users is adults.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not kids.
It's actually heartening to hear that drug use among that population nationally is at an all-time low.
Historic lows.
I mean, that's fantastic. So
it's a sign that I think we're doing good work. It's a sign that families listening and families everywhere are doing the work, are setting those ground rules and those expectations, and are enforcing consequences.
Yeah.
That is a positive sign.
Absolutely. Well, I am just thrilled that you were here today.
Thank you for having me.
And I know that listeners learned a lot too, because being a parent around a lot of parents, and I talked to a lot of parents, I have yet to hear several of the things that you brought up today come up in conversation. So I know that there were some great nuggets in our conversation. As we wrap up, I want to leave people with resources, websites, tools on how they can get more information, how they could potentially reach out to the NCADA or talk, what is it?
Yeah, so the age-specific talking kits, those are free, downloadable, and also accessible on your phone. Though that's available at talkaboutitmo.com. Our main website, where you can find information about our school-based prevention programs and also some of the early intervention programs that, again, are at no cost, and they're, if your child has maybe got a little sideways with substances, that information can be found at our website, which is ncada-stl.org.
Fantastic. I thank you so much for being here, Nicole.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Have a wedding, event, neighborhood, or business, and you need extra security? Gold Shield Security is a licensed and bonded company that employs police officers to give you the protection you need. Whether it's a one-time need or ongoing, Gold Shield Security has you taken care of. Contact Paul by sending him an email, goldshieldstl@gmail.com. That's goldshieldstl@gmail.com. Gold Shield Security, real police officers who are there when you need them.